listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I don't know if this musician's team knew it, but I entitled my message, Because He Lives. And we've been dealing with that topic here today quite extensively. I really hope, that you can agree with me that Resurrection Sunday, Easter as it is commonly known, is one of the greatest days of the year. In the life of every believer, if you're a believer this morning who celebrates the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, Resurrection Sunday is major to your life. It's also a testament to the fact that Jesus, He is the Son of the Living God. That in plain English is just this: Jesus is God. And before we're done today, I hope that you can embrace Jesus in such a way that you are going to participate in the journey of life with Him. I want to give you some background to our celebration this morning. I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And here's what I want you to look for as I read this passage. I'm going to read it to you out of the English Standard Version. And there are twice in this passage of Scripture that short little phrase, so that. I want you to look for those two phrases, so that. And then we're going to embark on our journey here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Look at it. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Why is Jesus alive? Why didn't He just die like the rest of us would when our time is up? I want you to pause for a moment and consider that question. Yeah, He's alive because He rose from the dead. That's a fact. That's the first obvious answer. But why? Yeah, He's alive because He's God. Well, that's true too. But why? I'm going to say yes, He's alive because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. We know that from the Bible, because Acts chapter 2, verse 24 tells us that answer. So we can check off that box as well. But why? What purpose does His life serve us today? I want to offer you a few of the obvious, and then I want to point to a way for us to do life. Before we're done today, I hope I can stimulate you to do life maybe a little differently than you did yesterday or last week or even last month. You see, this Christian life is not the same old, same old. And I want to encourage you to embark on a fresh journey with Jesus. You see, over and over, the New Testament tells us that Jesus is alive, that we know, and he is active as well. He isn't just alive sitting in heaven, but Jesus is active, and he wants to be active in each of our lives. That is a fact forever established. In that, we learn that Jesus, firstly, paid the price for our sin. We've been made aware of that all through this service. And I spoke on that entire subject last week. For those of you that were tuned in, how many remember the term, the word propitiation? I use that word. That word propitiation simply means that Jesus paid our debt. Our debt has been paid in full by Jesus. Jesus settled the issue of our sin, and he did that on the cross. And I want you to hear me out on this idea, because sometimes it's a confusing matter. The Bible makes no provision for what is called universal salvation. And here's how that would work. The very fact, and it's a true fact, that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the grave, he paid the price for the freedom from our sins and the freedom that he brings to our life. But he didn't do that in such a way that now all of humanity is rescued. Each person, each one of us, must make a decision to deal with our own sin. And when we do that, we become a son, a daughter of the Most High. There's a confusion out there with regard to that truth that I just shared with you. A lot of people think they're Christians, and they're not. How do they come to that conclusion? Well, I've been born in America. That must make me a Christian. Not so. We are Christians by coming to Jesus and asking him to redeem us from our sin. And it's a done deal when we trust and we appropriate Jesus' work on the cross to our lives. Secondly, he makes intercession for us. Jesus is pleading your case and my case before a holy and just God on a 24-hour, 7 basis, all the time. He's pleading our case before the Father. That is, he comes before the throne of God as our mediator, our go-between. And he makes requests before the Father for our moment-by-moment needs. Aren't you grateful? He's active. He's working on your behalf, not only to redeem you and save you, but he's interceding on your behalf as well. Thirdly, the resurrection validates his work. That what Jesus did was a complete, fulfilled job that satisfied the Father. Thirdly, fourthly, are you aware that someday Jesus is going to return? He will do so physically, and he will rule and reign. That is yet in the future. It's a future promise. found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. That's a truth. But what about today? I want to get to that. I really want to get there quickly here this morning. Today is about living the resurrected life. And I want to introduce that fact to you because so many Christians don't quite understand this or don't even comprehend this. Today, Jesus lives to bring his victorious power to bear upon our character and our everyday life circumstances. He cares about every single minute of your day. Not only does he offer victory over sin and death and to give us forgiveness if we believe, but he also wants to live his life through us. What a concept. What a concept. Do you get it? The Jesus that you invited into your life comes to take up residency in your being. In case you did not know, you are made up of a tripart being. You're made up of a body, a soul, which are your emotions, your will, and your intellect. But he's also given you a spirit. That's why the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God we were made. We're made a spirit being. And when we come to Jesus, our spirit comes alive to the things of God. Now, when our spirit comes alive to the things of God, does it go dormant? No. It simply means that Jesus now wants to help you direct your life from the inside out and direct your spirit. That is precisely what Christian living is all about. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And this is what separates Christians from what everyone else on the planet. Jesus taking up residence in the believer's life helps them navigate the troubled waters that are before us. The true Christian life is Christ in you. Bible says he is our hope of glory. Jesus made no provision. Listen carefully now. Don't misunderstand me. He made no provision for whatsoever for you, that is on your own power or even in your own power to live the Christian life. I was playing with somebody before the service and I asked him this question. So how do you deal with heart issues when issues come up against us? And the classic answer for most of us, well, I'm going to just try harder. I'm going to just try harder. I want you to know, trying harder leads to disappointment, exhaustion, and failure. This is why a lot of people start the Christian journey and they bail, because they've never learned to live the exchanged life. And that is, in the pressure of life, to allow Jesus to take us through whatever might be the hardship that we're going through. You see, Jesus is the only one who ever lived the Christian life, if I can use that phrase, successfully. He's the only one that came through this thing in complete and perfect victory. And while you can seek knowledge and understanding, and I would encourage that, we should. And you can serve, you can worship, and you can walk with him, but you have zero power or personal strength to resource true and full obedience. That's where we need help. We need Jesus to help us get there, because he did it. He's already piloted that part of the journey. You need Jesus to help and empower you. There's nothing in you as a person that can enable you to live for him. Not an ounce of strength, not a smidgen of willpower, not a thimble full of perseverance to make Christian living possible. The only source of power is the exchanged life. And I want to labor that this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. Because Jesus came out of the grave not only to give you victory over sin, but he also gave you, that's what the resurrected life is, an exchanged life to overcome hardships in your life. My goodness, it got awfully quiet in here. See, the reason for that is because most of us, myself included, have come to places in our lives where we come up against the wall and we drop into what we know is natural. I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to push this envelope a little bit harder. And I'm going to exert more willpower. How about if we just take a deep breath? Relax. Say, okay, Jesus, I've come to the end of my rope here. I'm going to just need you to turbo this life of mine, to give me that extra power that I need to get through this turbulence in my life. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, the only source of power is the exchanged life. So when you came to Jesus, yeah, your sins were remitted from you. But did you pick up on the fact that Jesus gave you new power to live for him? He's never going to allow you to do something that you can't do. So he gives you the power to live this life for him. This is Christ living through you. And your part, and my part for that matter, is for us to get out of the way. Now that would be smart for us to draw that conclusion. And when we do, people are going to see a new spiritual energy coming from you. And you're going to have to come to terms with the fact or ask the question, whose energy is this, really? How many know it's not your energy? Our works is as filthy rags. We don't even rise to the first rung on the ladder. So, whose energy is this? This is Jesus in us, living the exchanged, victorious life. Now, if people see anything worthwhile in your life, if there's anything eternal or lasting, it's the actual life of Jesus flowing through us. Give credit where credit is due. Jesus is the only true resource, and he is the only power for lasting transformation. This powerful yet simple truth can literally and absolutely change your life forever. Do you see why the Lord brought you here today? so that you could get your head around an idea to live victoriously for the Lord and not become a victim of defeat due to your own efforts in your life. Can I ask a question? Are there any takers in this place for this kind of life today? Anybody want to live that way and overcome stuff and be a victor in Christ? This Resurrection Sunday can be your turning point. Your turning point. And today is your invitation to consider the exchanged life, which is Christ living in you. So here's how it works for me on a day-to-day basis. Now, I'm not saying that I'm excelling and I've reached the postgraduate stage in my journey, but I'm learning through the School of Hard Knocks. How many have been there? And I've got a few bumps and scratches and bruises that'll identify me as being in the journey. But here's how it works. When I come up on an issue in my life as a Christian, I have a choice to make. I'm going to either grind this out with my own strength, or I'm going to lean into God. I'm here to tell you the God way is to realize that my limitations, and I do have them, won't stand up to the task. I need Jesus to intervene. The God way is leaning into the Lord's help in the face of my issue. I want to give you three quick things. We'll wrap up. If you want to live this way, you've got to be flat out honest with yourself. You can't be telling yourself stories and then believing your crazy stories. Okay? You got to be honest with yourself, number one. Number two, admit your weakness, admit your sin, admit your limitations. Know and pick your battles. And then thirdly, recognize that you are powerless to live for the Lord on your own and in your own strength. So because of Christ's death, and once you die to yourself, the life of Jesus can be manifest in you. Let me ask you, would you take it as a compliment if you found yourself in a hard place and you leaned into Jesus, and maybe your coworker looks at that? I mean, no, you get pretty close to your coworker. And they realize that your reaction to the issue is a little different. And if they draw that to your attention and say, hey, I noticed you're going through a blockbuster problem here, but you seem to have handled it fairly well, that's a good place for you to say, you know, Jesus is my strength. It might be self-absorbed to say, well, thank you. I've been practicing. How many know that's just a license for another lap around the mountain? I don't want unnecessary laps around the mountain. I want to be a quick study. Today would be a good day to start this kind of journey with the Lord. You may be here today, and you may have been trying to live for God. Or maybe, just maybe, you've never even taken the first step toward God. How many know we all need Jesus? Whether we haven't taken our first step yet, or whether we're realizing we need him more than we've needed him before. I want to give you the opportunity to begin this walk with God this morning. I want you to pray. Not to me, but pray to the Lord. Simply tell him, I'm weak. In myself, I'm rather incomplete, totally. I need you, Jesus, in my life. You need to make that decision today. I want to pray with you. There's a whole prayer team that would love to pray with you and see you through this major step in your life. So would you stand to your feet with me? Whether it's for the very first time of acknowledging Jesus as your Savior, or whether the light has finally come on in your thinking and you're saying, aha, that's why I failed and fall on my face so often. I haven't been leaning into Jesus. Whether it's one of those two issues this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me of trusting Jesus with your life and starting this journey, maybe afresh and anew, or maybe all over again. This is your moment. This is a day. This Resurrection Sunday celebration 2023, this is your day. So let's turn our focus and our attention to Jesus. I want you all to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for rising from the grave. You brought freedom to my life. You bring salvation to my life. And I embrace you, Jesus, as my Savior, my Lord. And now from this day forward, I want to exchange my life for your life. I want to invite you into my life in such a way that I'm trusting you every step of the way. Lord, I sign up for this journey. Help me when I'm weak. Help me to overcome. And help me to represent you well, because it's all about you in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you want additional prayer, I want you to come forward. This musician's team's going to sing. We're going to conclude with this last song. But I want you to come, and these people are going to pray for you. You don't have to go this journey all by yourself. No more. Today, you can turn this thing around and let Jesus help you in the journey. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.